Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. We have a very special program today. We're going to be talking with Greg Hunter, and we're going to have him on in just a second. He has the power of camp and the corners of the field and the campaigns that he does. He is the president of the Christian Camp and Conference Association, and he has been doing a wonderful work with kids all over the country. We want to see what the Lord has done in his life. We want him to be on this on our show so he can let people know the importance of putting your kids in camps and summer camps. And he'll let us know all of it, what we got to be doing and stuff. But, you know, I take the time to invest and plant a seed of faith out there in children because I want my children to have the best opportunities. And I know that you want your kids to have the best opportunities as well and see things happen in their life that are good. And you're going to get the godly influence you need when you put them around godly people. So without further ado, how are you doing, Brother Greg?
I'm doing great, David. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Amen. Amen. Tell me how you got involved with all this camp stuff, because you're doing a massive thing. And then, you know, just give us a little background of yourself.
Well, sure. The association that I'm the president of is about 50 years old. We're in our 49th year right now. Yeah, so it's been around a long time working to maximize ministries of our member camps. And there are about 850 Christian camps and conference centers across the country that are members of ours that we work to enhance what they do. So what they do well, we want to encourage them to do more of. What they need help with, we help them train and prepare for that. But for me personally, I was an unchurched kid growing up in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, and 1981 I went to a Christian camp. I only got to go because a youth leader came to my school, invited me to go to camp, got to know me. I said, I can't afford to go. He found a way through a caring woman in our community to pay for my camp experience. So when I went there, I heard about Jesus, about his love for me, about how he went through suffering and torture all because of his love, and that his crucifixion actually paid the price for my sins. And when we were given time to consider at camp, or this beautiful setting that I was in, to consider how we would respond to that that kind of love that God showed through his son, I went out and I said, God, if my life is worth that much to you, you can have the rest of it. Honestly, David, I felt like I was handing God something that was about as worth about as much as an old sweat sock. I felt like my life just wasn't worth much. I felt not only unloved, but I thought I was unlovable. So as a 17-year-old who was angry and bitter and acting out, drinking a lot, doing other violent and destructive behaviors, God changed my life immediately, and it was through the power of camp that he reached me. So I'm a huge fan. Not only am I the president of this association, but I am a huge and passionate fan about the power of camp to change lives of kids today.
Amen. Amen. That was made possible by someone sowing a seed in your life. That is amazing. That's an awesome testimony that someone cared to put you through camp. And because there's cost involved when you go out there, correct?
That's right. My experience was through a ministry called Young Life, and it was a camp up in British Columbia. Actually, I was raised in Washington State, and so there were transportation costs to get across the state and on a ferry boat that we took out for hours to this place called Malibu Club in Canada, where there are no roads in. You get there by boat or float plane. And then the experience is just a beautiful, wonderful time. And so, yes, there are costs. And when I told my leader, you know, I'd love to go, but I'm working to pay for my car and my clothes because my dad's not going to do it. I said, so I can't afford to be going from work and to pay for camp. He said, okay, well, if you'll help me weed this woman's garden, she said she'll pay for you to get to camp. And I thought, I've been working since I was 11. I don't mind a little hard work. So I pulled some weeds, and the woman graciously and generously paid for my camper fee. Otherwise, I would not have been able to go.
Amen, amen. And for those that are listening, and you may not have any kids or grandkids, but you probably know of kids that you've seen around the neighborhood or at church and stuff. So I want you to listen to this broadcast, and maybe God is talking to you to help some kids some way. And I'm sure Greg will give you some information down on the show how you can do that. So, Greg, how does camp change lives?
Well, you know, David, I think there's something very unique about the way that God uses time, solitude, or time away from the daily routine. So often in Scripture, we see people who pull away. Yeah, Jesus himself pulled away to be with his Father. But others were sent into the wilderness for experience. You know, before Moses took charge of the people of Israel, he was a shepherd for 40 years, preparing him to get ready to go do ministry, and then or to lead his people. But it was a ministry to the people of Israel to get out of slavery in Egypt. But over and over again, God sends people out to be alone, to prepare them for something in their lives. Camp provides something that we call temporary community.
Hmm.
And what that does for kids is it allows them to get away from, what it did for me as a kid, allowed me to get away from my daily routine, from the expectations that my peers put on me, that my parents put on me, that I even put on myself to build this image, to be this person. So full-time I'm working to maintain this reputation, and then I could get away from it when I went to camp. At camp, in this temporary community, all of a sudden there are no expectations on me, and I can just be who I feel like I want to be. The walls fall down around me that I built on myself, and I can see my future more clearly. And when the gospel was presented to me in that setting, I could suddenly make a decision between whether I want to go back and be the Greg Hunter who was kind of an obnoxious, loud kid striving for attention, or whether I could say, you know, I want to be at peace with God and have the hope and promise and love, especially his love that he offered. But if I hadn't been in that camp setting, if I'd been back at my high school and a speaker had come in and presented the gospel in the way that I heard it at camp, I may not have heard it sitting there among my peers and the people I was trying to impress. But the power of camp is, I believe, rooted in that temporary community that God knows about, because he knows everything. He knows how important it is for people to get away and be able to consider the message of his love for them. So that's, I think, the power of camp.
Now, are you at the camps yourself as well?
I am at I'm in Colorado Springs. I'm in kind of a headquarters building. We've got about 11 people who work full-time to help build up the associations. Throughout the year, I get out to a lot of camps. I think last year I was out at 20 to 30 camps, and this year I'm planning to go on another tour in the summer. So we have a national conference every December, and we get to have hundreds of people who work at camps come in and see them. So I'm with the people. My board of directors for this organization are all camp directors.
Oh, wow.
At this time. And so they come in and visit with me. So we're embedded in camp ministry, but I don't have an office at a camp right
but
now.
But before you were at the camps, correct, that you were attending camps and stuff as well?
When I was a kid and I attended the camps, yeah, absolutely. I was out there at those camps, and I do go, as I said, I do go out and tour and visit folks who are doing ministry for kids and adults at the camps.
Oh, great. What do you know what kind of attitudes the kids come in with when they go there?
Well, you know, it's a widely diverse audience or group of campers. There are about 6 million people a year who go through the member camps of our organization, our association.
Wow, that's a lot.
And a lot of them are come from the denominations. So many church denominations own camps, and so a lot of times we get Christian kids who are looking to grow in their relationship with Christ, or frankly, David, kids go to camp to have fun. And it's there that God grabs their heart. Frankly, I tell people, hormones get a lot of kids to camp, because when I went, I was hoping to meet girls. I was a non-Christian kid, right? I met Jesus instead, but I wanted to go to meet girls. And there's no surprise to anybody at camp who deals with teenagers. They know that boys are going to check out the girls, and the girls are going to check out the boys. But it's in that situation. I mean, that's the world we live in. But it's in that situation, in that temporary community, where God reaches out and grabs them. So you asked about the kind of kids who come to camp. There are kids like me who go to a lot of the camps that are members of our association, kids who don't know much about God, or what they know hasn't been attractive to them. And so when they hear about him at camp, they respond. There are those Christian kids I mentioned from the denominational camps or just the Christian camps where they draw in others from church groups. So it's across the gamut, all the way from the spectrum of kids who don't know anything about God to those who are walking closely with Him. They go to camp and they can grow in their relationship with Him while they're there.
Now, how long do these camps usually last? I mean, are they all summer or just a few weeks? Or
most of our member camps operate in the summer on a one-week basis. So
okay.
you go for six nights and kind of 6.5 days, and that last half day they're turning the camp over and cleaning things up and getting ready for the next group to come in.
Oh, wow. Now, how can a kid find a camp?
Well, the best way I think that they can go online right now, they can go to one of two websites. I'll give you this one. It's called thepowerofcamp.com. That's all run together, no spaces, thepowerofcamp.com. And when they're there, they can watch a video that's kind of an example video of what kids experience at camp. There's some details in it about kid culture today. So if parents are saying, you know, I'd like to understand a little better the world my kids live in, the statistics are sort of stunning, and we may talk about some of those in a little while. But then also on that page is a button that says Find a Camp. And that allows you to search our database of Christian camps that are members of our association that we have vetted, that have signed the statement of faith, and that, you know, for example, you can enter your zip code and say, I'm willing to drive 100 miles or 200 miles or
okay.
something like that. And
right.
then once you go there, you can look at all the camps in that region and see what they offer. So if you say, well, I have a kid who would love to be involved in a horse program so they can ride horses, you know, find that camp and then go and investigate them a little further. If it's water sports like water skiing, if it's high elements ropes courses and other adventures your kids want to go to, you can check out all the amenities at those camps through the Find a Camp button on thepowerofcamp.com.
Now, that Power of Camp, that makes you want to go to camp, because I went on that website and checked it out, and I'm like, man, I want to go do the zip lining and riding the horses myself.
That's right. Yeah, me too.
That's pretty neat. But child and parent relationships, why are they so broken, and, you know, what can be done about it?
Well, the culture today, it provides so much stimulation and so much draw for the kids to get into the things of the day. You know, when we say 7.5 hours a day is what kids spend, that's 8 to 18, spend on average plugged into some kind of media. When I was growing up, you know, we had Walkman or we had a stereo in our room or something that we would listen to. TV wasn't that great because we had three channels. And now today, kids with all the television and especially the internet and kids spend hours on Facebook and refreshing their pages and tweeting and doing Skype calls with each other. But 7.5 hours a day kids spend on media. Then the stunning study that showed that kids on average spend 3.5 minutes a week in meaningful conversation with their parents. That would just blew me away. And so I think there's this vacuum, this leadership vacuum in a kid's life because they're looking for direction. They're looking for those of us who are older, who know a little bit more about life, who understand maybe a little bit more about who God is and how He can have an impact in their life. And so they come to a camp setting, and they're so ready for someone just to pour into their life and give them a vision, just like Scripture says, you know, I have a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you
Amen.
Hope and a future. And so when kids go to come to camp, that ministers to their soul. God wired them to be receptive to that message. So, you know, parents, it doesn't mean they're bad parents. We know parents are busy. There's a lot of single parents who may be listening to us, and you say, you know, I'm working two jobs. How do I have the time to do this? Well, there may be ways to find the time to reach into your kids' life a little better. But if you want them to grow and learn more about God, in a setting where leaders are there, present, because they love kids, because they want to impact their lives, camp is a great way to have those needs augmented and met.
Amen. I'm looking at that the graphic for the Power of Camp, and it shows, 270 minutes of television, 82 minutes on the phone, 27 minutes on the computer, 80 minutes of playing games every single day.
Yeah, that's right.
7.5 hours on electronic media.
Yeah. That's stunning. But you know, if you say, well, it's the culture kids grew up in, so most kids have access to most of those things. We know that not all of them do.
True.
But if most kids have access, what are they going to do? The other stunning statistic was that kids spend an average of 4 minutes outside a day. And that's not how I grew up. You know, we had a couple of recesses a day in elementary school, so I had more time than that in one recess.
True.
But there's some settings, maybe in urban communities, maybe other settings where kids have recess inside. They go into a gym. And I believe being out in God's creation, in places that are surrounded by beauty and they demonstrate God's grandeur, you know, how great and awesome He is. Kids can't help but, even if it's not conscious, I think subconscious, sometimes they say, wow, the world is bigger than I thought. The world is more beautiful than I thought. Someone must have made this. In fact, David, I'll tell you a story about a kid I heard a few years ago. He came from an urban setting, kind of a concrete jungle, and he made it to camp, and it was time for dinner. And he was sitting outside, and I don't remember his name. Let's call him Michael.
Okay.
And Michael was sitting outside in the grass outside the dining hall, and they said, "Hey, Michael, come on in. It's time for dinner." He said, "Yeah, I'll be there in a minute." And when he didn't come in 5 minutes, the leader went outside again and said, "Michael, come on in. They're serving the food now. It's time to come in." He said, "Yeah, I'll be right with you. Go ahead." And the leader goes in again. The third time, the leader comes out when Michael's not coming in for dinner. They said, "Michael, what are you doing? Why are you not coming in?" He said, "I'm just sitting in the grass, man. I don't have grass in my neighborhood, and I just want to enjoy it. This is the first time I ever sat in the grass."
That's awesome. That is
I
awesome.
I was blown away by the story. A kid taking him out of his concrete jungle and putting him in a place where he can enjoy God's creation in a way that's brand new to him. And that has the power to change lives as well.
Amen. Amen. Tell us about the importance of mentors in the lives of teens today.
Well, you know, I think kids without a mentor is kind of like a ship without a rudder. They may appear to be healthy. They may appear to know what they're doing, and they're staying afloat really well. But on the inside or underneath the surface, you see, they don't know where they're going or even how to get there. And so the idea that kids would try to navigate life on their own without a caring adult to help them is sad to me. And so when kids can go to camp and they meet their counselors there, who are people who are a little older, usually a little older. So if they're high school kids, they're going to a place where there are college or a little bit older counselors, people who've been through a little bit more of life, have studied a little bit more or a lot more about the Lord and know what it takes to follow Him in a culture that the kids are growing up in. That makes a huge difference. I can tell you that when I gave my life to Christ at 17, my leader said, "Hey, you know what, I'm going to come to your town." He was going to college 16 miles away. And when he agreed with me that he would come over and see me every week, and we'd spend an hour together, and we'd go through these Christian books, and I'm telling you, David, he had me reading some pretty deep stuff for a pagan kid who didn't know what he was doing. I was reading The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. He had me read The Disciple by Juan Carlos Ortiz, and I was going, man, this is heavy stuff and a little hard for me to understand. But we went through it because he wanted me to have the foundation of faith that was strong. And the role of a mentor in my life is just what it can be for kids today, which is set their bearings straight, give them a vision for their future, support them in the struggles they have making that transition from being a non-Christian kid to a follower of Christ. It's I think, critical. If there are people who want to be mentors in kids' lives, I'd say now's the time to find a way through your local church, through a Christian ministry, even through a camp setting, to say, "I'd like to help and I'd like to serve," because it's so important for kids today.
Amen. Amen. Now, the trends in camping, how has camping evolved over the past years? I mean, I know now they got zip lines and stuff, but...
Yeah, I'll tell you two things about that. First, it's how camping is different from what it used to be, and I'll tell you how kids are the same. First, you know, some people maybe my age, and I'm in my late 40s now, I still had a great camp experience, but it was one of the probably more advanced camps, more progressive camps with more stuff to do and more amenities when I went there in 1981 as a camper. Back in the 50s or 60s, if there are grandparents or even parents listening now who went then, they say, you know, I went, we had platform tents and we had hot dogs two meals a day roasted over an open fire. And I will tell you, there aren't many camps like that left in the United States. there's still a few who run, you know, really basic camps that are really inexpensive and they can't afford to do a lot for the kids. But a lot of our member camps have air conditioning in the cabins now. I asked recently at a conference, what's the biggest advancement that you've made? And this was camping professionals who were there in the room with me. And one woman raised her hand and said, we've put memory foam mattress tops in all of our beds. And I, you know, a lot of people turned around and said, what? Wow. So we've got the most comfortable camp in America, maybe. Air conditioning, memory foam mattresses. Not everybody has that. Not everybody can afford that. But camp has certainly progressed with things like the blob. Have you seen what that is? Do you know what that is when I say that?
No, you lost me there. I'm thinking about the movie.
The blob, yeah. It's this, when people have a waterfront, like a lake or it usually can't be done in a pool, it needs more room. It's this great big air-filled pillow, but it's probably 20 yards long. Usually it's red, white, and yellow. They almost all are colored that way. And a kid crawls out to the end of the blob, and then somebody jumps from a tower on the opposite end, and the air transfer pushes them up in the air 20 feet, just launches them off the blob into the water.
Wow.
Those are things that really weren't around in the 50s and 60s. But so we have the blob, we have horse programs, we have rappelling and rock climbing. Some camps use little mini go-karts for races. They have mountain bikes. They're just all kinds of things that that may not have existed those years ago. And one of the reasons I like to talk about this is it kind of dispels the myth of parents who don't have a camp experience. They think, well, I'm not going to send my kid out to sleep on the ground and eat hot dogs. One of the things that camps realize most is by having good food, it keeps the kids excited to be there and even to come back next time. So I'd say the camps I've been at, they've got great food and they've got a lot of adventures that kids can tap into. Now, I mentioned also that I was going to tell you how I think kids are the same. We talked a few minutes ago about the culture kids grow up in today with all of the electronic connection.
Yes.
All of this media they consume. The world that kids are growing up in today is different. But deep inside, David, the kids are still the same. What they long for, the void that they have in their heart is to have a relationship with God. But they, on the outside, they might identify this, that they have a need to be loved unconditionally, to be appreciated and respected, and to feel like they have value. Those needs don't change. I feel like that's a human need since the beginning of creation, and often God fills that void and is the only way that the void can be filled, that God-shaped vacuum we have inside of us. But a camp, it's a place where humans can reach out and also show God's unconditional love for kids, to show that they're accepted, to show that they're appreciated, that they have value. And so, though camp has changed and progressed over the years, I think inside kids are still the same.
Hey, man, tell us about the rival gang members who became Christians and were reconciled back to each other during camp. That sounds like a very interesting story.
Well, this is, people ask me sometimes, give me an example of how some lives were changed and how God used camp. There were two kids from rival gangs, two young men, rival gangs from Birmingham, Alabama, several years ago. And one of them, their names were Tony and Ra-Ra. And the story goes that Tony had beaten up the brother of one of the gang members from the other gang. And so he was a marked man. The other gang knew where to find him because there was this gathering where a youth leader would cut hair of kids. And so kids would hang out from both gangs. Everyone was welcome there. But when Tony walked in, the other gang, Ra-Ra's gang, had an AK-47 that they put in his face. Were ready to end his life. The youth leader stepped in the middle and said, hey, this is not going to happen here. It's not going to happen now. And he talked to the guys the next night. He had them together. And he said, I'd like you guys to put aside these battles. Someone is going to get killed, and maybe a lot of people. But I've got an opening at camp that's coming up. Would you guys be interested to go? And by the way, I can help you get some scholarship money. So he helped to pay for these two guys to get there. When they got to camp, Tony and Ra-Ra decided to join forces and put their past differences behind them, and they started stealing from the other campers together. But by the end of the week, both of the young men had heard enough about the love of Jesus for them that they gave their lives to Christ. And then they gave the stuff back that they had stolen early in the week. But in what setting is that going to happen? I mean, the only thing I can think of is they were so far withdrawn from their daily struggles, even just to survive and to stay alive, that now they could see things, their lives, relationships, see God more clearly. And they both made decisions to follow him. And that's one of my favorite stories about camp and the power of camp.
Amen. Amen. That is awesome. That is very awesome. Because the mentality that those guys have in the first place, to forgive one another or to work with one another, even at the beginning, that's amazing. God has an awesome spirit that's there that helps change lives. I've seen in your statistics that 40% of the kids who go to camp make a first time commitment to the Lord.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I would say that it's particularly for those that are outreach camps, like the one I went to, designed to get non-Christian kids to camp. Of course, if there are camps that are run by churches and through churches, we would hope that a lot of those kids know the Lord already, so that as they go to camp, what they're doing is cementing their faith and growing in their faith. But, you know, I think of it this way, David. What other youth ministry or ministry of any kind in the country could see those kinds of results, that 33% to 40% of kids who walk in the door give their lives to Jesus? That's what happens to some of our members. It's because of that I feel like camp must be, in the mind of God, a special tool in his toolbox. That he looks and says, what's most effective at bringing people to me? Because that's what I want. I want all to come to repentance and none to perish. I feel like camp must have a special place in his heart when he says, look at how effective some of these guys are at bringing these kids into my family and into my presence. So I'm, I can't be more of a fan of camp than I am.
I love your dream, my brother. Your dream is to give every kid a chance to go to camp, regardless of their ability to pay. And that's a strong dream there. And I'm going to keep praying for you for that one, for sure.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that's all about the power of camp. And if there are even grandparents or aunts or uncles who say, I'd like to send my kids to camp, they could send a donation through the Power of Camp website. There's a button that says send a kid to camp, and if they'd like to help us send more and more and more kids to camp, I'd love for tens of thousands of kids to have the opportunity to go to camp and meet Jesus just like I did when I was a kid.
Amen. Now, and just let us know how parents can send their kids to camps who may not be able to financially afford to go.
That's a great question. And what I would suggest is that they go to find a camp on that website. So go to thepowerofcamp.com and then look for the Find a Camp button. And when they find a place that they say, you know, I'd like to send my kid to that camp, that they call them up and say, do you have scholarship money through your Corners of the Field program? We call it Corners of the Field because in the book of Leviticus, the farmers were encouraged not to harvest all the way to the edges or the corners of their field, but to leave that so the poor could be fed. In the same way, we want to leave the corners of the field so the poor can come to camp, just like I got to go. And so I would suggest that they go to the camp and say, do you have scholarship money for my child, because I can't afford all of the camper fee or whatever it takes for them to communicate and ask the question. And many of, if not most of, our member camps do have scholarship programs so that kids can go.
Amen.
That's great.
Amen. Now, what kind of job opportunities, summer and full-time, at camps can they get involved with?
Well, we have a job board at another website that I'll give you. It's at ccca.org. It stands for Christian Camp and Conference Association.org. So again, it's ccca.org. And one of our most popular features on that website is the Find a Job feature. and so that can be college students who are looking for something to do for the summer, or it can be people who say, you know, I'm tired of being an accountant. I'd like to go help a camp, introduce kids to Christ, and they can go find jobs in their area, or if they're in New Hampshire and they want to go to Texas, we've got camps, lots of camps in Texas where they might be able to find a job. So I go to ccca.org and click on the Find a Job button.
Well, Greg, you're encouraging me to send my boys to a camp.
I, I think it'd be great. How old are your boys, David?
One is 14. The other one just turned 13. And the other one just turned 11. So what age group? I guess that's a good question. What kind of age group is the best to go to camp?
Well, it kind of depends on the parents and the child, what you determine is best for them. Some of the younger kids, I sent my youngest, who is now 13, to a day camp when I was living in Georgia. So he would go for a week. I would take him in at 8 and pick him up at 5. It gave him the experience of being at camp, but he still got to come home and sleep in the house at night when he was 9, and I wasn't quite ready for him to go. 9 and 10, I believe, is when he went to those day camps. When I was 17, it was overnight camps, and a lot of them are kind of the high school age, so 15 to 18 is great for overnight camps. Sometimes middle schoolers also go, there are counselors there who are prepared. If they offer middle school camps, there are people there who know just what the needs are and the insecurities and sometimes the fears of those kids who are away from home maybe for the first time, but there are experts there in culture. So it's kind of whatever you decide is best for your child and how adventurous they are and how willing they are to be away from home for either just a day at a time or even for a week.
Wow, that sounds awesome. Now give us your contact information so they can get a hold of you again.
One of the best ways they could do is call our office here if they'd like. That's at area code 719-260-9400. They could send me an email at gahunter@ccca.org. Again, gahunter@ccca.org. And we'll be happy to answer their questions. We've got people who are in a group called Member Services. We love to serve our member camps and people who are looking for a place to go to camp.
Amen, amen. And that's the powerofcamp.com?
The powerofcamp.com is another way to go and look up the information. Power of Camp, the Power of Camp, I should say.
The Power of Camp.com. And ccca.org.
Yes. That's correct.
All right, my brother. Look, I appreciate you being on the show with us. I hope it was a good show for you as well.
Absolutely. It was great to be with you.
Amen. And whenever you want to come back, just give me a holler. We'd love to have you. Maybe even during before you go to a campaign or a conference, let us know what's going on, get you on the air again, and that way we can promote you as well.
That sounds great. Thank you, David. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, God bless.
God bless you.
All right, you take care.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye. Amen and amen. That was our brother in the Lord, Mr. Greg Hunter. We had a great interview with him here. And he is, of course, a president of the Christian Camp and Conference Association. Their campaigns are The Power of Camp and Corners of the Field. Corners of the Field being a help scholarship type ministry there to help pay for some of the scholarships for the kids to go to camp. Power of Camp being a place where you can actually find a camp and find a place near you or within a close distance of you. And then also he has a CCCA, that's CCCA, that's 3 C's and an A, .org. And you'll be able to listen to his videos on there, but also find out how you can help. You know, it's important that we invest in our kids. Amen. It's important that we put our time into our kids' lives. It's important that even with your nephews, your nieces, and this whole show, I've been thinking that it may not necessarily be your kids. It may be other people's kids that you see that there's a need. Maybe everything's going great at your home, but maybe there needs to be something done with some other kids that you know that are in the neighborhood. You know, today is the time. This year is the year. You're living in a time when people need to have Jesus more than anything else. And at a 40% ratio of those type of camps that people come to Christ, 40% of the kids in the outreach type camps, that's a pretty good chance that the person you send to camp is going to find Jesus. Not only that, maybe you see a kid that just needs some extra attention. Maybe, like Greg said, the parents are working a lot and trying to make things run at home, and maybe the kid just needs a little bit more attention, and something like this may encourage him, may give him a little bit of hope. So if you have nephews, you have nieces, you have grandkids, even kids at church that you see them there, but you don't have any. You know, I have a church and an associate pastor of a church here, Words of Life Church in Humble. And we have a lot of older people that come to our church, and their kids are grown. My kids and a few other kids are probably the only kids that are there. But you know what? I'm sure if there was a need to send our kids to camp, any of the kids in our church, not only mine, that the people that are the older people there that have grown kids already would invest and plant a seed in them. And that's the mentality that we have to have. We have to want to help and be a blessing. Again, that is thepowerofcamp.com, Corners of the Field, as well as another campaign there. But thepowerofcamp.com, you can find out information about that as well. And then ccca.org. That was Mr. Greg Hunter. And it was another awesome show here on Midwatch with the Rev. And we enjoyed having him. Our address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that's P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can email me, David, at revmedianetwork.com, and I hope that this show was a blessing to you because I sure enjoyed it. It was a great time with our brother, and I hope to have him back again sometime. So I'm going to catch you next time on the Midwatch. God bless you.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with..."
That was Peter Stanway. Peter, you're not on the show today. Get off the show. All right, God bless you. We'll talk to you next time on the Midwatch. Email me, David, at revmedianetwork.com. Catch you next time.